faces. One or two at first. But soon everyone is expressing their shock, their disbelief. Why is Danny Wall being arrested? Did he kill that poor girl? My ears close to their chorus, my eyes still fixed on Danny's black funeral suit in the distance, watching as Turner's hand pushes his head down into the back seat of the car. A ghostly figure moves towards me. Dad. His face, whiter than before. Black rings circling his eyes.
What's going on?
He says in a hushed voice. Does he think no one else noticed? That he might be able to hide this, too? I can't look him in the eye. Can't tell him what he wants to know.
Why are they arresting Danny?
He says. Choosing to move past him, I walk down the pathway, not knowing where I'm going or what I'm doing. 100 eyes burn into my back as Jeff arrives at my side to clutch my arm.
Are you okay?
He says. Holding onto his arm, his strength, the only life jacket on my leaking boat, I keep my head down and walk past Joanna, who's sobbing into the arms of some unfamiliar woman. She turns to look at me, but I ignore her as she calls out, Why have they taken Danny away? Becca! Becca! The name echoes through the air, floating amongst the dead, where it belongs. I need to get away from here, away from this memorial circus. We are outside the cemetery when two cop cars pass by. Turner's satisfied face turning to look at me from the side window. It's the first time I've seen anything other than a grim expression on that face. She thinks her job is done, that she has her man. But I think she's wrong. It doesn't feel right. Something doesn't add up. That can mean only one thing. One sad, bad thing. My father knew about the abduction. It was my one last vestige of hope, the straw I was clutching, wishing he too had been taken in by Nancy Wall's performance. But now I realize my life has been spent on the stage with 3, not 2, brilliant actors. Oscar performances all around. I need to go down to the precinct, I say, when I finally manage to speak.
Okay. Have you got the cell with you?
Yes. With my hand in my pocket, I feel the cell phone, the single flame burning with the truth. Clutching the plastic covering, I hold it tightly in my grip. It was supposed to be a confrontation. I was planning to do it when all the mourners had left the house later this evening, when Joanna was gone back home to Liam, when Danny, Dad, and Becca played happy families, telling their stories as they tidied up after the amazing turnout. Dad was supposed to be discussing how beautiful a service Nancy Wall got, just like she deserved. And as it turned out, she did get what she deserved. Cops by her graveside. But Turner robbed me of my moment, my one reason for coming here today. Whatever she has on Danny must be incriminating. I wonder if it's something to do with the jacket they took from his house the day they were supposedly doing door-to-door calls. We'll see how that turns out when I give her the phone, with the fingerprints of whoever sent that text arranging to meet Katie Collins in Tree Hill Park. I'll have to tell her I only opened the box from Oak Ridge this morning, before going to the funeral, that I'd planned to give it to her as soon as the funeral was over. I don't want her going all fucking legal when she finds out I've had it since yesterday, interrogating me about who else touched it, blah, blah, blah. When we get to Jeff's car, he puts his hands on my face and tilts my chin so I can't avoid his existence. His eyes are actually quite comforting, lifting my spirits slightly. But only slightly. I still feel like I'm in hell.
Jeff, I don't think Danny did it, I blurt out. The way he looked at me, the despair in his eyes, the disbelief. I just don't believe he did it.
And I don't. He had too much to lose. His new baby, his wife, his big job. Why would he commit murder just to cover up a secret for his dying mother? Whereas, Dad. His wife was already gone. Maybe he couldn't face losing his daughter, too.
Well, we'll know soon enough,
Jeff says.
It'll soon be over.
He kisses my forehead. It will all be over.
I don't know about that. For me, it's only beginning. Life. Real life. Up to now, it's been like the Truman Show, everyone playing their role in the bubble for Becca, while outside the world continued on. Katie Collins continued on. My real mom continued on until she didn't. And I, oblivious to everything, played my part unaware of the production. Well, not anymore.
The car pulls out into the traffic. Jeff at the wheel, me at the crossroads of life. To make a turn, I must first of all leave the road I'm on behind me. But will I be able to move on? Say goodbye to everything I know? Or will I want to stay here in the comfort of the familiar? Time will tell. The precinct car lot is full when we arrive, so Jeff drops me off, telling me to go on inside while he parks the car out on the street. I'm not nervous. Not like before, when everything would shake and shiver like I was dancing through these doors. Going straight to the cop working the front desk, I ask to see Detective Turner. He looks bored, worn out. I'm not sure which, but I can tell he's readying himself to tell me I have to wait. Before he gets to say a word, I speak. She'll want to see me ASAP, I say. Tell her it's Louise Johnson. Tell her I have the untraceable cell. Chapter 62. The following 10 minutes drag like I'm waiting for the results of a cancer test. Seconds disguised as hours. Unable to sit, I walk around the waiting area hoping I'm doing the right thing, reminding myself I have no choice. The killer's fingerprints are on the cell phone. They have to be. There's no other reasonable explanation for an untraceable phone to be hidden in Nancy Wall's room. I wonder, did they text Katie from Mom's bedside? Did Nancy say something to Dad or Danny, providing the catalyst for them to make contact with her? They may have gone to put Katie off the scent, tell her I left town months ago or that I was dead, hoping she'd go away and leave their perfect lie intact. Turner eventually arrives with that goddamn look of superiority on her face. My confidence instantly ducks into my boots, but this time I stand straight and pull it back out. Maybe Danny's fingerprints aren't on it, I say, handing her the plastic bag containing the cell phone. Turner pauses, inspecting the parcel in her hand.
Why do you say that? Did you find the note?
No, just a hunch.
A hunch.
Turner's smirk is irritating. She looks from the cell phone to me. Her fringe is longer now, too long for her eyes to pierce, so she's pushed it to the side.
Becca, we don't run investigations on a hunch. We collect facts, she says,
the condescending tone in her voice making me want to slap her. Well, you didn't collect that fact, I say, nodding at the cell in her hand. She smiles a little, shaking her head.
And thank you for bringing it in, she says,
walking away, leaving me here none the wiser. When can I see Danny? I shout after her. When will you get the fingerprints ID'd? I'm beginning to sound like some hysterical mother unable to face the ugly truth about her precious son. Turner says nothing. When she gets to the automatic doors, I get a rush of blood to the head. I can't leave it like that. Walk away without trying to find out why he was arrested. Detective! I shout, hurrying towards her.
Rebecca?
Why did you arrest Danny? I say. Turner sighs without even attempting to hide how annoying she finds me.
I can't tell you that,
she says, shaking her head as she walks away. I can tell by her smug smile that she has something big on him. Danny must be guilty. Behind me, I hear the familiar comfort in Joanna's voice directing my father through the entrance door, telling him she's found me, that I'm in here. I don't want to turn around. I don't want to see him. Danny killed Katie Collins. The words are flying around in my head. Danny's going to spend his life in prison. I can't believe it.
What's happening?
Joanna says, coming up behind me. Will I tell her? Can I turn around and destroy her life, or will I wait for the legal team to do it? I'll let the legal team do it. They're not saying much. He's inside now with some attorney, being interrogated. I say this, not knowing if he is or not. We have to wait out here. Behind Joanna, Dad stands like a scared puppy, afraid to approach me. Guilt is sticking to my soul. How did I doubt him? How could I think he was part of this deceit, that he knew about the abduction? The poor man, what a fucking day he's put in. Nonetheless, I'm going to have to tell him the truth about everything. Throw one last bomb into his crumbling world. Jeff pushes through the door, searching for me. Seeing him, Joanna pulls me to the side, saying,
"We need to talk. Alone."
I'm surprised by how calm she is. Her ability to remain in control, even though her husband has just been arrested, is baffling me. But then again, that's always been a trait of hers. Control. The woman is always one step in front of me and everyone else, always ready, knowing what to do, organizing the troops. Nothing seems to faze her. I think that's what Danny likes best about her. Everything gets done. She's gonna get some shock when she finds out the truth about our family. I say. I'm looking at Jeff approaching. He smiles when he sees me notice him.
Now, Becca,
Joanna says. The waiting area is almost full, so we leave Jeff with Dad and walk outside the building.
He knows,
Joanna says.
He knows what?
I say.
Your dad. He knows about you, Becca, about the abduction. I had to tell him on the way over in the car.
Anger sweeps through my body like a tsunami, wiping out every other emotion.
What the fuck?
I shout.
You told him? I had to. Nothing was making sense to him.
My mouth opens, but all I want to do is spit on her. How dare she? And how does she even know? Holding her hand out as if diverting an assault, she says,
I had to, Becca. He wanted to know how Danny knew Katie Collins.
How did you know? I growl through gritted teeth.
Danny told me the week before we got married, said he couldn't marry me unless I knew the whole truth.
You shouldn't have told him, I say, pushing her arm out of the way and stepping in closer until my face is inches from hers.
You're just an interfering bitch. You had no right. But you had to be the one to tell him, didn't you? Had to be the one taking control.
Shut up. The ground below my feet feels like it's shifting. I know it's not, that it's just in my head. But I walk away from her anyway, attempting to calm down.
What will I do now?
Dad knows I was abducted, thanks to Joanna sticking her nose in. She's still there. By the wall where I left her, staring over at me. My mouth is completely dry, my head burning. I need to get some water. I wanted to tell him, to assure him that as far as I was concerned, it changed nothing, that he was still my dad. He didn't know anything about the abduction, so I have no reason to blame him. I wonder what his reaction was when he discovered his favorite daughter was really buried at the end of his yard.
He cried,
Joanna says, when I eventually muster up the courage to go back over and ask her.
He wanted to know if you knew, but I said I didn't think so.
Does he know Katie Collins was my sister?
Yes.
I don't want to continue talking to Joanna about this because she feels like an intruder in our secret. It's our secret. It doesn't belong to her. Danny had no right telling her. She must have really loved him to marry him, even after hearing what happened. Weird, that.
I'd have run 10 miles in the opposite direction rather than get involved with such a fucked up family.
I'm parched. I need to get some water before I go in and face him or I'll collapse. I think of Jeff, sitting in there by Dad's side. I wonder if they're talking, discussing me or Danny, or just sitting there, Dad trying to swallow the truth, Jeff wishing he was someplace else.
There's a deli over there,
Joanna says, pointing to Jack's deli across the road.
Or there's a vending machine inside.
I don't want to answer her, to make normal conversation with her after what she's done, so I walk in the direction of the precinct.
Do you need change?
She says, taking her purse from her bag.
I grab the purse and walk ahead of her into the building.
Dad turns to look at me when he hears the doors open. I freeze.
It's over there,
Miss Noel says, her manicured nail pointing at the machine in the corner. Afraid to take my eyes off Dad in case he disappears, I stand for a moment watching him watching me.
Do something, Dad. Say something.
He smiles. Just a small one. It forces its shape onto his shrinking face. But it's enough for now. Joanna walks back over to Dad while I make my way to the vending machine. $2. I need $2. Opening the zip on her expensive Gucci purse, I take out a bundle of notes as a young woman pushes past me, cursing and swinging her arms, knocking the purse from my hand. It opens out. Credit cards, identity cards, loyalty cards, probably all in alphabetical order, fill the pockets of the wallet. Bending down, I'm about to close it over when I see something that looks out of place. A slip of white notepaper. I open it. Chapter 63. To Rebecca Wall. My name is Katie Collins. I need to talk to you. My cell is 1-504-607-0143. Email katiec10@gmail.com. I'm only in town for a few days. It's crucial we meet up. I have something very important to tell you. Call me, Katie. I read it again, this time the room fading from my consciousness. It was her, Joanna. Perfect fucking Joanna with her perfect eyelashes and perfect house. How could I not have seen it? I knew it was someone in the family, but she completely dodged my radar. How could I possibly have suspected Danny or Dad? Oh my God. Joanna killed Katie Collins. She had the note all along. She is the one who arranged to meet Katie.
What does this mean?
Poor Liam. Poor Danny. The bitch stood by and let Danny get arrested. How could she do that?
I lift my head. All I can see is Joanna. Dark green eyes open wide, locked on mine, unable to blink. Mac chili-coated lips open with fear. Slowly I stand, holding the stare, clenching the note in my hand. Joanna walks toward me, calculating her next move, I imagine. How to explain this? I cannot let her have one more moment of control. I must get the note to Turner before she has a chance to take it from me and make up some story, manipulate the situation. Lie. Kill me, too. Turner has to be told Joanna is the one who had the note, the only one who could have made that call. I can't believe she was letting Danny take the fall for this. Turning on my heels, I head toward the door. Joanna follows me.
Becca! Becca!
She calls out. Her voice swelled in panic.
Detective Turner,
I shout, pushing my way towards the door, one hand in the air, parading the note.
Turner, I have it! I found the note! Becca! Becca!
She calls out after me.
It's not what it looks like!
It is what it looks like.
Everything is spinning into control. Out of the corner of my eye, I see Dad standing up, looking at me with a concerned expression.
He doesn't know what's going on.
His whole life, he hasn't known what was going on. The door swings open with one push.
Left? Right?
I don't know.
Go right. Mom always said, if you're ever lost, Becca, turn right.
Funny I can think of that now.
Turner?
I call out. Officers in uniforms looking bemused as I pass their stations.
Can I help you?
One guy says, standing up. I rush past him, Joanna closing in behind me, the clanking of her high-heeled shoes on the tiled floor becoming more rapid.
Click, clock, click, clock. Detective Turner!
I shout again, continuing to hurry as I enter a narrow corridor, Joanna's pleas ringing in my ears.
Wait! Becca! I can explain!
I'm going to run out of options if she doesn't appear soon. Where the hell is Turner?
Rebecca?
I hear her dull, unexcited voice. Turner is standing behind me when I look around.
I have it. I have the note,
I say, holding my hand out.
I know who met Katie Collins at Tree Hill Park.
Turner's eyes move to the piece of paper imprisoned in my grip.
Click, clock, click, clock.
Joanna is now running down the corridor, away from us.
You might want to stop her,
I say, gasping for breath while pointing in Joanna's direction. Before my words have an impact, Joanna is apprehended by a man in uniform as she tries to escape. With the evidence safely in Turner's possession, I walk down the corridor. I have no job, no place of my own. Maybe it's time to make a fresh start. Move away from here and own my new identity. New Orleans is nice. I open the door to where the only other person deceived by this lifelong pretense waits outside. Will I call him Dad? Probably. Chapter 64. 4 weeks earlier. Slipping out from under the duvet, a shadow in the dark room, Joanna gently pulled on the handle that she had never fully closed when she came to bed. The less noise she made, the less chance Danny would wake up. Out in the hallway, she lifted her feet off the wooden boards with precision. A creak could do it, startle him, put an end to her plan. The woman was not going to ruin everything. Not now. Not with Joanna's whole world finally moving in the right direction. She had taken a risk marrying Danny. His past kept him awake at night. But it had paid off. Joanna had it all now. The fancy house, the fancy car, the best of friends. And in a couple of weeks' time, the baby. She knew if this woman ever got to meet Becca, Joanna's whole world would be destroyed. Danny would be questioned, and possibly even arrested for the death of that little baby all those years ago. When she found Katie's note in her father-in-law's mailbox, Joanna knew the past had arrived to taunt the future. Her future. And she was not about to let some trailer trash passerby destroy that. At the bottom of the stairs, she walked into the darkness to the cloakroom, switching on the small light inside the door. Her heart was beating faster. Anxious?
Excited?
Joanna wasn't sure. It was the same feeling she'd had the day she searched Becca's apartment to see if Katie had sent a note there, too. Taking her jacket from the hook, she realized it didn't fit anymore. It wouldn't close over the bump. The night was cold. Icy cold, she could feel it sneaking in below the front door. So she took Danny's navy jacket and tried it on. Perfect. It closed all the way up, covering the bump and keeping her warm. With the sleeves pushed up, she pulled on a pair of Uggs, tucked in her pajama bottoms, and walked to the kitchen. 1:45 a.m. The meeting was at 2 a.m. 15 minutes. Plenty of time. Taking the keys from the hook by the door, she stepped out into the dark night.
the whistling wind providing a camouflage for the car's engine as she backed out onto the empty road. Rehearsing her story, Joanna moved through the night's shadows, arriving at the prearranged spot, the bridge.
You can't miss it. It's the only one. It crosses the dried-up river.
No one else would be there at that hour. Thinking she was meeting Becca, Katie had agreed to wait until Becca had finished her shift at work. She would have agreed to anything, she was so desperate to meet her. Her sister. It was never meant to happen the way it did. The push, the fall, the body just lying there, blood flowing from the back of her head. But she wouldn't listen, wouldn't go away. Joanna had tried to tell Katie Collins that her sister wanted nothing to do with her, that she'd sent Joanna to tell her to leave her alone or she'd kill herself, just like their mom did. Joanna thought that would scare her, that Katie would go away when she heard that. But she was wrong. Katie demanded that her sister tell her to her face, said she was going to meet her whether Becca wanted to or not. Katie had spent most of her life searching for her sister and was not walking away now that she'd found her. Joanna recognized Katie's determination, her strength, her ability to win. It infuriated her. She was not going to lose everything. Frantically, she moved closer to Katie, grabbed her shoulders and pushed her to the ground, cracking her head off a rock. The dark night disguised the color, but Joanna knew it was blood flowing from Katie's head. Bending down, one arm wrapped around the baby bump, she leaned over Katie's face and felt soft breath escaping from Katie's lips. Joanna could sense the life in front of her draining away, but there was still time. She could make the call. With one hand on her back, the other pushing the soil below her, Joanna pulled herself into a standing position, feeling the cell phone in her pocket. She looked down at Katie, the past lying at her feet. She wrapped protective hands over her bump, the future. If she did make the call, what would happen to the perfect wife, the perfect mother, the perfect murderer? Joanna walked away. This has been an Audible Studios production of Familiar Strangers, written by Jackie Walsh, performed by Kelly Burke. Copyright by Jackie Walsh, 2019. Production copyright 2019 by Audible Limited. Audible Studios is a division of Audible Limited.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this program.